All right, everybody. How we doing? Everybody having fun?
Yeah.
Anybody hitting the tired stage about now?
Yeah.
Don't let yourself get tired. We got some great stuff to talk about. Hey, so conflict is what I've been charged to speak with you on today, and I can't wait to share with you some stuff that I think is really going to bless you. I was thinking back to when I was in junior high and high school, and I wish I would have had somebody talk to me specifically about what I'm going to talk to you about today. Things that I really want you to write down. I want you to use those booklets. I want you to write down some of the stuff because you're going to forget it, and you're going to get a chance to look back at it the next time you face conflict. So really excited to jump in with you. Let me start with a story. My son, Braden, who's now a senior, hard to believe, when he was in fifth grade, I got a phone call from my wife. She said, hey, Braden got in a little fight at school today. And Braden's not really the fighting type. It's like, really? Well, what happened? Well, they're playing fifth versus sixth grade. The tension, you could cut it with a knife. It was a big game. After school football, okay? Braden's in there. He's quarterbacking. He's not a great quarterback. Obviously, I'll tell you why in a minute. So he steps back to throw a pass. They're going against the sixth grade. He's looking over the field, launches a ball, hits this girl, boom, right in the face. And this girl, I'm guessing from the way she reacted, did not appreciate the football in the face. Most girls don't. And so she started running after Braden, like, I'm going to kill you kind of thing. And Braden did what every man would do, and he ran away. So Braden's running away, and he's going, oh, she is going to kill me. And he's running, and then this other sixth grade boy comes in out of nowhere and gives him two sucker punches in the gut. Boom, boom. And then Braden goes, thank you, and he heads home. Okay, and so I get this call from Angie, said, yeah, my Braden got sucker punched by this kid, and he hit this girl with a football. And so when I got home, I said, Braden, you know what we're going to do, right? And he goes, we're going to go talk to him. And I said, yeah. We're going to go figure out how we can make this right. And see, most people, when conflict happens, you guys are in conflict all the time. It happens for everybody. And so for him, what happened was when we got through, we went around the neighborhood, and we went and looked through our neighborhood and defined this person's house. I didn't know this lady, and I didn't know this boy's parents, and found out where the boy's parents lived, and we went and knocked on the door, me and Braden, and we said, hey, I think our sons maybe got into an altercation, And I'd love to get together. And I think there was a girl involved too. Do you know her? We kind of found out who she was. And so we made plans to meet at this fine eating establishment called Brahms. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Pretty nice. So we went and we met at Brahms, and we're in those cush booths, you know, that you kind of have to kind of fit yourself in, and they're really uncomfortable. And we sat down, and I remember the mom coming in with her daughter, and she looked kind of, oh man, how's this gonna go? I don't even know this guy, and he's kind of weird looking. And then she comes, she sits down with us, and here comes the dad with his son. And we just start out, and I said, hey, I heard what happened to you, to the girl. I looked her in the eyes. I said, hey, tell me what happened. I said, I heard you got hit football in the face. She goes, yeah. I said, I bet that hurt. She goes, yeah, it hurt, and I was pretty frustrated. And I said, man, well, let me stop you right there. And I said, Braden, what do we do when we cause somebody pain? You know, when we hurt somebody. And he goes, well, he just looked at her and he goes, hey, I'm really sorry that I did that. And he goes, I didn't mean to hit you with the ball. And he goes, will you forgive me? And you, her look on her face is like, she goes, yeah, I'll forgive you. And the mom kind of looked at me like, oh, wow, this is strange. And then here comes the dad with his son. I said, hey, and buddy, you came in. There were probably some good punches, but I just said, hey, that's probably not the best way to handle when you're frustrated or you're trying to stick up or something. What do you want to say? And so he asked forgiveness. And I remember the mom at the end of it, she goes, man, this went really well. Like, she's really surprised. And I said, yeah, it was good. I'm glad we got to get together and talk it out and figure out how to make this better. So I want you to understand that conflict happens all around you. And here's what I want to tell you. Is that there's a common cause for conflict. There are common occurrences. There's common responses. We're going to talk about that on the front end, okay? And you're even going to hear from some students today that have had a conflict in their small group, and they're going to share what they learned. And then we're going to talk about uncommon responses and uncommon opportunities to be a reflection of Christ. And I want to tell you this, conflict is one of those ones that if you do this well, and this is really hard for me, by the way. I don't think anybody goes, oh, I love conflict. But I think if you do it well and you do it differently than the world, that it's an opportunity to represent Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, and this isn't on the screen, but it talks about us being aliens and strangers in this world. Look different. If we look like everybody else and we claim to be a follower of Christ, we're missing opportunities. Okay? So here's what I'm going to tell you. There's a common cause of conflict. Look at James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says. Hey, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, and so you kill, and you covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask of God. Hey, when I read that verse, you know what it says to us and to you and me? It says, we are the part of conflict that's the problem. It's us. You know what? Because you don't get what you want. People have something you want, and you don't get it, and that's where conflict many times starts. Think of the story. You all remember the story of Cain and Abel? In the scripture, Adam and Eve's sons, they were giving a sacrifice to God. And Cain was a man of the ground. He was raising crops. He was that was his the way he served. And then Abel was a man of the sheep. He was a herder of the sheep. And so God was looking for a sacrifice from them, and Cain gives his, and it says he gave some of what he had. And then Abel gives the best of what he has, the best of his flock. And so God comes and goes, hey, man, he's with Abel's sacrifice, he's really pleased. And with Cain's, he's going, hey, Cain, why would you give just something? Why wouldn't you? And he gives Cain a chance to respond. You know what Cain responds? He lures his brother out in the field and he kills him. Why did he kill him? Because Cain wanted what Abel had. Favor with God. And God gave him a chance to do that. And instead of responding humility to God, he goes and kills his brother. And you go, why would, man, that's a little extreme. We're not talking about killing here. But I think we're killing relationships by the way we handle conflict. And so what causes quarrels among you is us. And so that's the thing we got to talk about first. And so I'm going to give you some common occurrences that I wrote down. I didn't get these from any small groups. I didn't go around and say, hey, tell me some stuff that's happening so I can... I just thought of some things that might be happening. And if this is you or something like it, I'll tell you this. Somebody told me they talked to a kid after the last one we did. And he goes, man, that was really challenging. I don't know if I want to go to another breakout. And I said, you shouldn't. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so the common occurrences are these. Say, hey, someone said something that made you mad and you pop off back at them. You just let them have it. Okay, that might have happened this week with you. Your friend said something, you just let them have it, and you felt better for just a little bit, and then you felt bad. Okay, secondly, that girl at school, she's more popular than you. You decide to talk about her behind her back because it makes you feel better when you talk about her, because really you're jealous of her. There's a guy at your school that tells lies all the time. He just tells lies. Everybody knows he's an exaggerator. He's the guy, and you guys love to talk about him behind his back. You talk about it, but you never go talk to him. And tell him, hey, man, I just want to tell you something that's causing people not to want to be around you. And I don't think you want that, and I want to help you. There's a guy in your class that everyone picks on, okay? They're picking on him, and you just watch it, and instead of standing up like you know you should, you just kind of let it happen. And then you join in, you laugh, and you go, man, I don't want to get in any conflict with anybody else because I'm afraid of it. So I stay away from it. Hey, I could give you a lot more, but I want to tell you, those are just a few I thought of. Let me give you three common responses. Okay, this is what the world would tell you is the right response. And I want you to notice how you may be doing what the world says and you don't even know it. You go, man, that's what I do. And then I want to give you a biblical picture of what a better response and a better opportunity could be for you. Okay, so the first one is this. It says... or the first S, it's three S's, steer clear. This is a common response. You steer clear from that stuff. And what you do is someone's made you mad or frustrated, and instead of going to them and talking with them about it, you just go, I'm just going to, man, they're not my friend anymore. I'm going to ignore them. I'm so mad at them. I'm just done with them. And you've never gone to them and talked with them. You just decided you were done. Look at the verse in Philippians here. It says this. It says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. See, if you want to live a life that's about others, is what Jesus calls us to, then in this case, by just ignoring it and kind of trying to steer clear of the situation, you are not loving that friend. They may not even know why you're mad at them. All of a sudden, they just go, I don't know. All of a sudden, I'm at school. They don't talk to me anymore. And what it is you didn't have the selfless attitude to go and say, hey, can I tell you something that's bothering me? I want to confess. That's a great word, by the way. Let me confess to you that I'm frustrated. And here's what you've done that's been hard for me. And man, maybe I'm missing it. Hear those little phrases? I might not be right. But I'm not going to just ignore you. I'm going to try to tell you. Because if that thing, here's what happens. A lot of times, everybody knows that thing about that person, and no one's willing to go tell them. And you just steer clear of it. Okay, here's the second S. You're someone who stirs up strife. Okay, if you're a person that you get angry pretty easy, I can be one of those people. You stir up strife. Someone comes at you, there's conflict, and you get mad, and you let them have it back. You want to be someone who doesn't stir up strife. Look what the scripture says. Proverbs 23, it is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Y'all hear that? To avoid strife. It's an honor, but you're a fool is quick to quarrel. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. You guys, I know there's tons of drama in junior high and high school. If you would be someone as a follower of Christ who would squash drama by quieting contention, not responding like everybody else, let me give you just a word of advice. When someone says something that makes you angry, slow down and don't respond. Take a breath, pray. Say, Lord, I don't want to respond like they are right now. I want to respond differently. So you might be someone who stirs up strife, okay? And then the last one, and this is one that's going to be convicting for many of you, is you spread gossip. That is a common response. Listen to the scripture for this one. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. Whisperer, that's the guy, you know, hey, did you see what he did? Did you hear about her? Can you believe it? You know what she's doing. And you're that person and you are doing what all the world does and you are causing that person pain because you're talking about them and you're unwilling to go to them. See, gossip is when you talk about someone behind their back and you're unwilling to go to them. It also, sometimes gossip is maybe not even confirmed true. You think it's true, you've heard it's true, and so you just spread it. And if someone's doing that to you, let me give you another little word of advice. Someone's gossiping about someone else, go, hey, have you talked to them about that? I think they'd want to know. I think they'd want to know that that's causing you frustration and I think that'd be really helpful to them. No one does that, do they? Hardly. And so it's such an opportunity for you guys to take advantage of that. See, I think there's an uncommon opportunity for you and your junior high and your high school. I just think there is. With your friends, I think there's an incredible opportunity in this area of conflict. Look at Romans 12 here. It says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do you hear that? Remember the stir up strife line? Hey, don't do that. When they do something to you, don't just go right back at them. Don't repay them for that. Then it says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Here's what I want you to hear closely. Listen to this. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you, you do everything you can to be at peace. Here's what you got to know. You may go to people and do the right thing, and you may give an uncommon response that we're going to talk about here in a minute. You may do that, and people may respond angry or frustrated or all this, but you do all that, as far as it depends on you, you do everything you can to live at peace with everyone because it reflects Jesus. So that is the opportunity. I'm going to have Hamilton and Cobb come up here. Hamilton and Cobb are eighth graders. I know they look like seniors, but they're just eighth grade. It's surprising. Here's the deal. So Hamilton and Cobb are in an eighth grade small group, and I'm going to tell you a quick synopsis of the story. Synopsis, that's a big word. Can you believe I came up with that? So it's a summary of the story. Okay, what happened was they were on a, it was a test day, and they had a half day, and at the end of the test, you know, everybody goes to lunch, he goes hang out, and they're with their small group, and they're walking around the neighborhood, and some girls came, and some of the guys talked to the girls, and the other guys kind of went, oh, we don't want to talk to the girls, we're going at it, and these guys went, man, they deserted us, and then there was some miscommunication about whose home they could go to, and so they go back to one of the guys, Cobb's house, and Cobb thinks he can't let the guys in, and then the other guys that were talking with the girls come back, hey, let us in. They go, hey, I can't. My parents said there was just this miscommunication. So they get frustrated with each other. They kind of barge in, and then they're like, hey, I told you couldn't come in. It becomes this big blow up, okay? And it was a lot of, like we said, miscommunication, but man, feelings were hurt. Frustrations were happening. People were mad. And so I'll pick it up from there with the guys. Guys, when that conflict happened, what was the counsel that you got from there?
Our parents kind of organized a kind of meeting for us mm-hmm. where we could talk things out. At first, I didn't really want to do it.
Yeah.
I was still angry about it. But I'm really glad that we did.
Yeah. So the counsel they got was, hey, let's get together. Same counsel I gave Braden. I know Cobb's and Hamilton's parents. I'm not surprised that they said, hey, let's get together and talk about it. Man, I think there's a lot of different things going around. Let's not let this fester and become a really big issue down the road. Let's talk about it. So y'all got together, right? The whole group, parents. You got the people over here on one side and the other side, and y'all are looking at each other and going, and you're sizing each other up. No, but you're talking, right? And so, tell me some things you learned as you were talking about, as you began to resolve the conflict.
Oh, I learned that it's okay to. Even if everybody else starts talking about what they did wrong, to just sit and be quiet for a little bit and think about what others are saying.
Okay. So did you hear that? He was listening to what others were saying instead of getting all his points in and why. If you treat this like there's a right, there's a winner and a loser, then you miss out. You can both win in conflict if you listen to each other and seek to understand. Okay. What else?
I learned that if soon as someone starts to talk, like apologize for what they did, other people start to apologize for what they did.
Okay. So it's contagious. Did y'all hear that? So if you start with, hey, I'm going to tell you what, hey, I was thinking about this. This is what I did wrong. Cobb, give an example. What did you share that day?
I shared because I was acting a little selfish by not letting him in. But my mom did say, but it didn't seem right that I couldn't let him in.
Yeah.
And also, one of my friends took some soda from my fridge and drank it, and I got pretty mad at him.
So see, little things became big things, right? And so Cobb goes, hey, here's what I learned. I just was being selfish about some stuff, and I got frustrated. And so you learned that when you admitted that, what happened with the other guys?
They started apologizing for what they did. It was really cool to see that.
Great lesson, guys. Anger breeds anger, doesn't it, Hamilton, right? That was one thing Hamilton had told me. He said, hey, when they got frustrated and we got frustrated, it just kept going. But soft answers or asking forgiveness or that kind of thing, when they did that, other people wanted to do it, okay? And if you were going to, how did the Lord humble you guys through this? What was the thing he taught you about humility? Anything?
Yeah. sorry.
That's good.
That starting off, by apologizing, or if you feel like someone's doing something wrong, it's not following what God would want them to do, you can maybe bring someone else, like their parents, or like talk to them and ask if you can talk to them about it.
Yeah.
Because it's really good. I have an example where I waited a year to talk to my friend about it, and it festered, and I felt very, very bitter, and it was not fun until I let it out, and it was really good.
Yeah. So waiting. See, when Cobb waited to talk with a friend, they missed out on some deepening of that friendship. And then he was like, man, this has been bugging me for a year. If you're on the receiving end of that and someone says, hey, this has been bothering me for a year and I've never told you, that's harder for them. Okay? How about for you, Hamilton? Anything?
So I was with the group that started getting cocky and were sort of harassing the people that are inside the house. And during our discussion, I started this discussion sort of by saying, when these people were being all rude and locking us out, I would start an apology like that, which is not the way to start an apology. Mm-hmm. And then by the end, I was starting to say, when we were doing this to them, that was wrong.
Yeah, isn't that great? So instead of going, hey, here's what y'all, see that little backhanded way? You know, when y'all were being all cocky and rude like that, of course we, instead he said, hey, here's what we did. And when you do that, it's an uncommon response. It's not a winner or a loser. So if you're going to share one thing each maybe with these students, when you say, hey, what would you tell them? What would you want them to take away from this time?
Be the first in a group discussion to start the, I guess, trend of apologies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So be the first one to start that, to be the one to humble yourself and do that. What would you say, Kyle?
Definitely do not wait. Don't wait a year or a month. Tell them at least within a week, because it can get bad if they continue doing it.
Yeah. Let's give them a round of applause. Cobb and Hamilton for helping us. So the reason I had Cobb and Hamilton share is because it leads me into uncommon responses. And this is where you want to really take note, okay? The uncommon responses, there's two S's and an O here, okay? And the two S's are this. The first one is seek to understand rather than be understood. See, you want to listen twice as much. You've heard this probably before, but God gave you two ears and one mouth. Listen twice as much as you speak, especially in conflict. You want to hear them. You go, and anytime you can acknowledge something that you heard them say, go, hey, I heard you say this. When we were acting all cocky and frustrated, that really made you frustrated. And you, and man, will you forgive me? You want to seek to understand what they were feeling. Because wouldn't you want someone to do the same with you? Wouldn't you want someone to go, oh man, I'm sharing my feelings and you're trying to understand where I was coming from. So seek to understand is a first one you want to start with. Don't come in with your guns blazing and telling them all the stuff they need to know. Instead, go, hey, I want to listen. I can tell we're frustrated with each other. I just want to hear you guys say what I did to hurt you. Okay, so seek to understand. Here's the scripture, Proverbs 25. A purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Be an understanding man. Second one, soft answer. This is where most people stir up strife, like we talked about earlier. The opposite of that is a soft answer. I have a friend who told me recently, we were talking, he was telling a story of his dad, and his dad had this coworker, a lady who worked with him. And they were emailing back and forth, and in an email, his dad made a joke with this coworker, and this coworker got offended and just let him have it over email. Like, I can't believe you'd say this, Nicholas. And here was his opportunity to be soft answer. And unfortunately for this guy, he let her have it back. He's like, oh, I can't believe you. And he went right back into it. Instead of what he could have done when he saw she was hurt, what he could have said is, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I think I've really hurt you. Will you forgive me? That wasn't my intention. And I think I've really offended you. You know what that would have done? What do you think she would have done? She might have said, oh, man, it's fine, man, no big deal, okay? I had a soft answer opportunity this week with my dad. My dad's 84 years old, okay? And I'm 72, so it's a weird deal. No, but I'm in the car with him, and we're after a basketball game, and I'm a little edgy after the basketball game that we just watched, and my dad starts telling me something that kind of frustrated me, and I kind of lash out at him. And then it was kind of quiet in the car going home the rest because I was like, man, I'm frustrated. And so I get home, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit in me is just going, oh, you need to call your dad. And every bit of me is going, I don't really want to. He a little bit deserved that from what he said, and he didn't. And I remember I'm sitting at the gas station, filling my car up, and I call my dad, and I said, hey, Dad, I just want to call you and tell you I'm really sorry, and I want to ask your forgiveness for the way I talked to you, say, in the car. And he goes, don't worry about it. And see, I grew up in a home where we didn't ask forgiveness, and we didn't talk about conflict. And I said, hey, Dad, I'm not worried about it. I don't ever want to treat you like that. And I feel bad for doing that. Will you forgive me for treating you like that? And he said, yeah, I forgive you. See, when people aren't used to these uncommon responses, they're going to go, oh, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. They'll always try to downplay it. And what you want to just say is, hey, it is a big deal to me because I care about you. And I want to ask your forgiveness. So a soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 15:1 says, but a harsh word stirs up anger. See, my harsh word to him in that car, he kind of went, well, excuse me. He was frustrated with me then. And it's because of my response. All right? Now, the third one. This is one that many of y'all, like we just talked about this, is that you need to own your stuff. Okay, listen to Matthew 7:4-5. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What I would tell you about this, I think of this visually of this telephone pole in your eye that's just kind of knocking people down, you know, and you're going, let me get that speck out of yours, though. And so what you have to do is you have to own your own stuff. You start with, hey, guys, before we start, I just want to tell you, I've been praying and thinking about this. I've got several things I need to ask your forgiveness for. Start there. And you know what will happen? Exactly what Cobb and Hamilton said happened. It makes other people go, oh, man, when you say that, that makes me want to tell you what I've done. And it's just true, guys. If you will start there, if you'll own your stuff, it will be strange to people to go, oh, you're starting the conversation by not coming after me and tell me all the things I did. You're starting with what you did. It will soften them. I'm telling you. But you have to learn to do that, and you have to be willing to do that, and it takes humility. My example of this, my son Braden, I'll give you another example. We have a great relationship, by the way. We're doing great. Braden and I, in the garage one time, we were working with something, I could tell I was getting fired up at him. I was getting the roll of the eyes thing, you know, like, Dad didn't get it. He's 72. And so he's saying that, and I'm watching him, and I'm beginning to respond to him. And Easton tells me, I have my youngest son said, Dad, you have this face. When you put this face, I know you're getting ready to get angry. He's like, you know, and so I was like, so Braden sees that, and I'm getting frustrated with him. And he says to me, he says, hey, Dad, he goes, I can tell I'm really frustrating you right now, and I just frustrated you big time. And he goes, can you tell me what I should do differently? Because I don't want to frustrate you. And I said, well, first of all, don't do the right thing that I told you to do, because that makes me frustrated. Just kidding. He did exactly what I've told him to do. And I looked at him and I said, thank you. Yes, you know what I did? The first thing I did was, hey, I've gotten way too fired up right now. Will you forgive me for that? But since you asked, which is a great question to ask, Braden, here's what you were doing that I think frustrated me. Did I overreact? Yes. But this is what you could do. So that's a great question. Hey, what could I have done differently to make this better? We got in a fight. We got into it. We got in conflict. What should I do next time to make it easier on you or make it where you won't be frustrated with me? And you know what happens sometimes when you ask that question? Sometimes my boys will ask me that. I go, you couldn't have done anything differently. I just was being a jerk. Or I might go, yeah, you could help me by this. And so if you'll learn to have those conversations, see, most of us do what? Steer clear. We get mad. We spread gossip. But these are uncommon responses to that. Okay, now I'm getting ready to get up in your business. Okay? I want to talk to you about your family. See, I think that there's an uncommon opportunity with your family. I remember sitting with a young man, a teenage guy. We were at Starbucks, and he was telling me about his dad, and he said, my dad will never admit he's wrong. And I just said, hey, can I ask you something? I said, have you ever gone to him and admitted you were wrong? He goes, well, you just don't, my dad never. And so what I did was I said, hey, you can't control your dad, you can't change him, but you could be an example to him. And you could draw the circle around yourself and go, hey, Dad, I was thinking about this, and be an example, and maybe he moves your way. Maybe he doesn't. But as long as it depends on you, would you do everything to humble yourself? And so I would tell you that some of you with your parents, and I don't think any of your parents are perfect. Okay, I know some of them are really struggling maybe. But I will tell you that I've watched through the years. I've been in student ministry for 25 years, like I said, 72. So I know, I've seen stories where teenagers have brought parents to Christ by the way they loved them, by the way they told them about Jesus, by the way they lived differently. They went, I saw it in my own son or my own daughter, and I could not deny who Jesus was. They changed their life. And some of it could be the way you respond. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. See, when I challenge you, you could either walk away from here and say, well, I'm not going to do anything with this. I'm just going to listen, write some things down, put it on a shelf, never look at it again. Or you could be someone that says, I'm going to do something. When Bron challenged me with that, I'm going to actually do it. And here's the challenge. I would ask you, before you go to school on Monday, to go to your parents and say, hey, I've been thinking about some things. I've got challenged in the area of conflict. I've been thinking about the way I've treated you. I've been thinking about the way I was disrespectful to you. I've been thinking about the way I've just been angry at you and yelling at you. I've lied to you. I've done things that I just need to ask your forgiveness, and I'm just convicted. Will you forgive me for that? You know what your parents may do? They go, who are you? And what did you do with my son or my daughter? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if your parents went, oh, you're humbling yourself? And here's what you got to be ready for. Your dad may go, yeah, I've been waiting on this. That would not be a great response. But as long as it depends on you, would you be faithful to do that? Would you let the Spirit of the Lord convict you to be someone who would go and say that to your parents? That's why I'm doing this. So my sons, I'm hoping they're in here somewhere and they'll come do that. No, just kidding. I'm not. So I want you to think about that. Here's the next one. You may have brothers and sisters, and you may not get along with them very well. Okay? I remember my boys when they were young. I remember my oldest son saying, they were in a fight, and we all go, hey, come here. Let's talk about this. What are we fighting over? And they go, and I'll never forget my son. He goes, Dad, that's just what brothers do. Brothers fight. I go, not these brothers. Now, we may fight, but we're going to reconcile. And we're going to make it right. We're not going to let you guys be that. Let me tell you something. My brother is 5 years older than me. I love my brother. I am so thankful for my brother. I wouldn't trade him for anyone. He is one of my closest friends. And it's because when we get sideways with each other, we're willing to talk about things, but he's just been awesome. And so here's what I tell you. If you can't handle your relationships with your siblings who are your family, and I know they may be hard, and you could tell me 20 reasons why it's so hard. If you knew my, I know. But I will tell you that if you can't handle those relationships well, you're not going to be a good friend. And so we say at our house is, hey, friends come and go. Families are for forever. They're life. Okay, and so here's what I'm going to ask you to do with your brother or sister. Same kind of thing. Would you go to them and just say, hey, man, I just realized I'm convicted. I've been a real jerk to you. I don't remember the last time I encouraged you ever. Can I tell you some things I love about being your brother or sister? Ooh, you're like, whoa, you're getting in foreign territory now, Bron. Okay? And hey, I also thought about the way I treated you even before we left for D-Town. I was a jerk to you because you took my clothes or whatever it is. And I just need to ask forgiveness. Will you forgive me for being that way? I love you. Some of you guys are going, I would never do. I've never asked my parents forgiveness. I've never asked my brother or sister's forgiveness. And let me ask you something. Either you've never wronged them ever, or you missed an opportunity to respond like Christ would. I'll give you a hint. It's the second one. It's the second one. Lastly, I have this rake up here and these gloves. The gloves are just for this idea of conflict because it was kind of cool. But other than that, this rake is from a story when I was a kid. I had a friend named Kevin Roki. Kevin lived about 4 or 5 houses down. And I lived in Topeka, Kansas in this big yard with lots of trees. and we used to rake leaves together, and we'd go jump in the piles because we didn't have a life. And so we would do that. And we'd rake these leaves. And I remember my buddy Kevin was over, and I said, Kevin, I've got a great idea. You hide in this pile of leaves, and we're going to invite my friend Todd Sossaman, real name, Todd Sossaman. Let's invite Todd over, and what we'll do is you'll be hidden in the leaves, and I will say, can you believe how Kevin's acting lately to Todd? And we'll see what he says, and he'll talk about you, and you'll be in the leaves. This is a great idea. No, okay, but this is what I did. So my friend come over, he hides in the leaves, Todd comes over, and Kevin's hidden down there. I go, man, Todd, can you believe how Kevin's acting? Man, he's a jerk. And oh, yeah, I hate him. He's a dumbhead. That's what Todd said, dumbhead. I don't know what that means. And I remember, so I keep setting him up. And then Kevin comes out of the leaves and just tackles him and kind of was like, we got you. And he goes, we can't believe you said all that. And then Todd walked home, like got so mad, and we hurt him. And he left and he went back to his house. And I tell you that story because I think that's what's happening with us in relationships. We're setting people up for pain because we're unwilling to have conversations that are Christ-like. We're unwilling. We do love to gossip about each other. We love to talk about each other. We're unwilling to talk to people. We're unwilling with our families. And we're just causing pain. And we're missing, listen to this close, we're missing opportunities. That's what we're missing. To be more like Christ. And you know what happens with conflict when it's done right? Let me reassure you, it is not fun. I don't love it. One of my good friends back there, Robbie Thomas, okay, he and I have had hard conversations together. He's one of my really good friends. And we've had to talk through stuff, and he was wrong every time, and it really, no, just kidding. We both had it. And that just happens when you're close with somebody, okay? And so if you're willing to do this, you're going to find out that it's going to grow you. If you'll listen to people, what they tell you, you'll go, man, I don't want to be a person that annoys people or hurts people. And if you'll listen, seek to understand, you'll learn some things that could really bless all of your relationships in the future. Okay, let me pray for you. Father, conflict is so hard. And yet, your word gives us such great instruction. Man, we want to be people that don't stir up strife and spread gossip and all those things. We want to be people who give soft answers. We want to be people who don't steer clear of conflict, but step into it. And then we want to be quick to just confess our own faults. And Lord, I pray for each person in here. I pray that if there's friends right now that they know they need to go to and just confess that they've been harboring stuff against them, or their brother or sister, that they would humble themselves, Lord, and go resolve conflict there, or even their parents. Man, maybe they want to come right out of here and just text their parents and say, hey, I'd love to talk to you when I get home. Some things that I just want to tell you that I just want to own with you so that they'll be faithful to do it. Maybe that's a step they need to take. Whatever you would have them do, Lord, may your spirit that's in them convict them and guide them. Thanks for D-Town and what you're teaching us this weekend. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.